He knows him. He's now at the VA, working there in the law enforcement area. And he's studying a little bit to be a pastor. He's taking some Bible courses and all. And so we're happy to have Jeff Forsberg with us this morning. So Jeff, if you'll just come up and share with us and give what the Lord leads on your heart. Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. You're welcome.
Is this good? I get the feel, it gives me the feeling of when I would go out overseas right before you'd roll out the gate. You get that initial excitement and then you just work into it and then you're good. But anyways, let us pray. Lord, thank you for letting us come before you today to worship you and hear what you have to say from this pulpit. We ask that I would have the words you want me to say. We also ask that all the people here would have open hearts to what you want to have us taught today. We thank you for this opportunity to hear your word be preached. Now, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen. I want you to imagine a world where the forces of darkness and light are waging war upon each other. Each camp is attempting to wipe each other out. There are powerful foes in there, powerful creatures that are in both armies that are attempting to destroy each other. And the army of darkness knows that it is lost. And because of this, they want to hurt and kill and just tear down anything they can before they're done. Because they know their time is up. And men are caught in this war. They fight on both sides. Surprisingly, most fight for the darkness, though they think they fight for the light. And the only ones who of the race of man who fight for the light have been saved from the enemy's domain. The only ones there have been rescued from the darkness. They have been saved. These who have been saved are now entrusted with the task of going out and reaching the lost brethren that they have on the other side. Before the King of Light arrives, he is going to once and for all put down the armies of darkness. He's going to crush them. When one of saved mankind comes to the Lord, mankind praises the King, for he has made it happen. For how can an enemy switch sides without mercy and grace from the King? It sounds a bit like a fantasy novel. I know some of you will be thinking Lord of the Rings. That's about kind of where I was thinking. And yet this is the life we live. This is not what it's not what we normally think life in Norway, Michigan is. The most excitement we normally get is gossip that is either heard in Eblings or the gas stations or wherever else we hang out. And yet this war of light and dark wages even here. Those creatures I talked about, the Lord's angels, may be very well in this room or the enemies also. And this is the setting that where many of you have come to faith in Jesus Christ and grown in obedience to God. The reality of the following verses that we're going to cover, and I don't know if someone set it up, but you read at least half the verses from my sermon this morning, is the reality is the verses say that we can cause other Christians to give thanks because of our rescue from sin. Pray and give thanks for our obedience to the Lord and then again for the reproduction of our faith. So let us turn once again to Colossians 1 and we will read verses 1 through 14. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Again, that'll be Colossians chapter 1, and we'll be starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you have heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you have learned it from Epaphras, or just as you have learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Having heard these verses, we should know the setting they were written in. They were written thousands of years ago by the Apostle Paul. And during this time, it was one of his prison epistles. He was imprisoned at this time. And it was during the reign of Nero. Nero was not known for being a friend of Christians. He eventually actually had Rome burned and then blamed it on the Christians. He used Christians as torches or lights for his garden parties. It's not a friendly place for believers at this time. Torture, murder, running with savage beasts for the entertainment of others were all for the sake of Christ Jesus. A little more vicious, we'll say, than our life now. Knowing this, let us move on to our first point. We see that our coming to faith causes others to thank God. Every believer has been called out of darkness, of the domain of darkness, to the kingdom of God. Consider what Paul has to say in Ephesians 6:12, and if you want to turn there, but I'm going to be going a little fast, so you don't have to if you don't want to. Though this is about spiritual warfare, we only have time to consider who rules the domain that we have come from. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." There's great power here, so much that angels have difficulty fighting it. Daniel 10 has an angel tell of one battle. Listen to his words that Daniel recorded. "Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to you, to your people, in the latter days, for the vision is for the days yet to come." The angel fought 21 days to get to Daniel to give the message. 21 days. When I was overseas, I had some friends who got in a gunfight for 45 minutes, and that was a long fight. It just drags out. And this angel sat here duking it out for 21 days. And there's more evil in this world, too. We had the bombing in Pakistan. We had the attack in Brussels. Right now in our country, we have, surprisingly, the front is with bakers and photographers where they are standing for their faith. Our government has been trying to force people to go against their faith. Natural man hates the light, just as John 3:20 tells us. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. God sent people to tell you the gospel of truth in light of this evil. The truth of the cross, that Christ died and rose on that glorious third day. Think of the people who shared Christ with you. God worked through them so that you would come to faith in face of this opposition. Satan and his demons wanted you in hell, and yet you were snatched from this fate. Sin condemned you to darkness. You were ripped from darkness to the light, saved from destruction. This is reason for people to celebrate. Consider a statement made by Jesus right after the parable of the lost coin in Luke 15. And he goes on to say, "Just so I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." There's a party in heaven every single time an individual is saved. Every one of you was a party in heaven because you came to Christ. Every one of you here who believes. Look at me. I came, and just because as an example, because I grew up here, I came to faith at a very early age. I don't know who led me to the Lord. It was possibly my parents. It was, or my Sunday school teachers, or Awana. This is where I'm guessing it happened. But either way, I'm very grateful for anyone who took part in that. And because of that, you all have reason to praise God, because one more soul will be with God and you for all eternity. All of you who, again, believe your faith is worth praising God for. How many people can you think of right now are worth thanking God for this reason? And that faith worth praising God shows evidence, which we will now see in our next point. We see that our growing obedience to the Lord causes others to praise God and to pray for them in verses 9 through 14. The army of darkness never wants you to grow in your faith at this, and they will strive against that. They will try to stop you in this endeavor. And yet Christians grow in their faith. Because of this, we get to thank God for the growing obedience there. And every believer has areas they struggle. Be merciful. I know I do. I know you do. And if you say you don't, you're a liar. And now we know where you struggle. Just saying. But I digress. That being said, the Spirit works on us through the Word, and we grow more Christ-like. I have found I'm sure many of you have, as you study the Word and you commune with God, you grow closer to God, you get closer in that relationship. And when you stop, then you go along for a plateau for a while. And then you fall off the proverbial cliff, and then you sin. And you damage that relationship. Not that you will ever lose it, but God loves you, but you hurt that relationship. And that is why Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Imagine the islander in the following story if he had not done what Paul had done. This South Sea islander during World War II, proudly displayed his Bible to a GI, to which that soldier said, "We've outgrown that sort of thing." But the native smiled, and he goes, "It's a good thing we haven't. If it wasn't for that, you would have been a meal by now." Now, I don't think many of us struggle with wanting to eat our neighbors or the people we come across, but I do understand from that islander's perspective, it would be hard to give up your favorite treat, especially if it's sinful. So we can see that God is at work in those islanders' lives. And there are other things that we struggle with more likely, though. Alcoholism, rage, pride, sexual sin, covetousness, thinking you're better than others, lying, and so on. The list is honestly endless. Man has kept creating ways to sin. When one of us has victory over a specific sin, we all have reason to praise God because there is a victory there. But that is not the only reason for in this to praise God. Obedience is not only not sinning. It is doing what God is leading you to do. It is using your spiritual gifts. All Christians have at least one or more. And when we are good stewards, we use them for the kingdom. And we can thank God for that. It'll sound a little cheesy, but I thank God, at least I thank God for the ladies who bring that wonderful food. There's probably another area of work, and I'm probably a bit of a glutton, but I thank God for their gift there. I also thank God, though, for the many elders and teachers who have been willing to mentor me. Who has done that in your life? Think about that also. When we see people with these gifts, we are to encourage them and pray for them so that they can grow in their use. Finally, we cause other believers to thank God when we reproduce our faith. There's a running theme through this scripture, though it is mentioned in verses 7 and 8. The work Epaphras did. God used him to form the church in Colossae and then disciple it. This man cared so much for the people there. And Paul testifies to this in Colossians 4, 12 through 13, where he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you always, struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Community Bible Chapel has a long history of this. I know, I've heard about it for years. Trish does child evangelism. Wayne does the Gideons, where the word of God goes out. And you actually brought up my other one, the Roberts. The Roberts went out and they are now missionaries. I mean, I didn't realize that. I had heard he was moving up, but now that it's almost like he's being groomed to take over, whether or not that's going to be. I mean, who would have imagined a pilot from this church would be doing that much for work for God? And I know that the many pastors that have served the Lord here also, I was counting the list, I think there's like 7 or so. I might be off on the number. And I know Pastor Rich, I've gotten to know him, and I know his heart is for the lost and to disciple those here who know the Lord, so that they will grow in the faith. God used these people and others to form a community of believers here, just like Epaphras did back then. Those believers are a testimony to faithful service. The Spokesman's Review in June of 94 found an interesting tidbit when it wrote about some graffiti that was on the Washington Monument from the 1800s, and it was found during a renovation. The graffiti, which can still be seen by visitors, says, whoever is an instrument under God in the conversion of one soul erects a monument to his own memory more lofty and enduring than this. It was signed BFB. Nobody knows who BFB is. But that man was right. Or woman, if it was when did the graffiti. Either way. And who will be the monuments of the work that God does through you? And that being said, discipleship comes into play too. Should new baby Christians or even older Christians be left to fend for the wolves off the wolves of darkness? No. Those who disciple can share in those monuments. I can think of a few men who've done this for me personally. Pastor Rich and Mike Barker take the time for me a lot. They always have had time. My father-in-law, Brian, he's a pastor. He's a Lutheran pastor down in Wisconsin, and I know he's a busy man, and every time I go down there, it's like all I want to do is talk the things of God in church, and I never give him a break, and he yet always takes the time for me and is patient and speaks with me. And I know I must be a challenge because, well, you know me. I don't need to really expound on that. And then also when Jerry Kriegel took the time to disciple myself and Eric and another friend of mine named Ben. There's someone who has always not made the progress that you have in the faith. And that means you have someone to disciple. Whether you're a parent and you have your kids, you have a friend, help them grow. Pray for them. Teach them. Answer their questions. Probably most importantly, listen to them, which I know I need to work on myself, as my wife can attest. I've been gone from here a few years now, and I know the old guard wanted the lost saved and to disciple those who are. The question is, who among you here now is rising up that is going to take their place? Who is going to have the same heart? Who will be the next champions from Community Bible Chapel that will go forth and proclaim the word? This church has caused many to praise God for the work done here in the past. For not being a large church, many champions have come out of it. I can think of a ton, and right now an off the top list. I mean, you got a board there you take pray for. I got three there. You had the Roberts up there. Tons of pastors. I can think of, what is it? Oh. We had Gary. We had, there's tons of them I can think of, and I can't remember all the names at the moment. Continue that long tradition. My hope and prayer is that this church will be doing this long after I'm dead. And hopefully that won't be for a long time. Ren Collective, a band I love to listen to, says it very well when asking God to burn like a star, light a fire in our hearts, for your glory, for your fame. In this darkness, light a flame in us. Send forth your holy spark in us. Send us out in resurrection power. History's about to change. We are rising once again. Send us out in resurrection power. So let us rehash one last time what God wants us to learn today. He wants you to thank him for other Christians' faith. He wants you to thank and pray for people who are growing in their faith. And finally, God wants you to go and reproduce your faith. The forces of hell don't want any of this to happen. They will fight you at every turn. And for good reason, because the work of God that he's doing in you. 1 Peter 2:9 through 10 proclaims this in a beautiful picture. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy." So when you hear that whisper in your ear, when a person gets angry with you for sharing your faith, when one mocks you for your faith. I've had it happen. When the enemy tempts you at every turn. I know you have, as I have had that. In many countries, though we probably have not faced this, they have death and imprisonment. This is war. And all Christians are on the winning side. If you are not saved by Christ, you are his enemy, even if you do not think you are. You could be the tool of the devil used against Christians. The Apostle Paul was this tool. And yet he was saved through faith in Jesus. He went from fighting the darkness to being possibly the greatest hero of the faith, all because he was ripped from the darkness to the light. Jesus saved him. Because of God's mercy, Paul wrote the scripture that we've heard today, so we were even able to hear God's word. God can save anyone. We'll finish this with some more words from Ren Collective. "We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins. Our Lord, our God, our conqueror. I will sing into the night. Christ is risen and on high. Greater is he living in me than in the world. No surrender, no retreat. We are free and we are redeemed. We will declare over despair, you are the hope. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable. With you, we are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious." Father, we thank you for all who have come to faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We worship you for the fact that we can grow in our faith through your word. We praise you for those who are willing to go and witness and to disciple those who come to the faith. Finally, Lord, we ask that you would raise up more people here at Community Bible Chapel and around the world to go forth in resurrection power, on with the Spirit's fire burning in them. We love you, our great God. In Jesus' name, amen.